Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Lando.
And we are here to talk news, breaking news from a long time ago. This is our Star Wars news show. And, you know, we're in that weird period of time where I think we're all waiting for a big explosion of news. That would be Star Wars Celebration, and maybe what's at Star Wars Celebration. But wonderful things just kind of pop up and lead to great conversation starters, little news tidbits, and we're going to get to some important stuff today about cameos and handrails in Star Wars and other cool things like that. Before we get to all that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll have our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And maybe help the show in the process if you so choose. Star Wars Life Adventures, big holiday weekend for those that celebrated. A lot going on. Jen, you're sounding better. Last week, you were a little under weather and you powered through like a champion, like Pete Sampras in that tennis game where he was sick. I'll make another two sports reference. How are you feeling? How's your Star Wars and Life Adventures?
Good, good. And I'm feeling so much better. And it was kind of a Star Wars Easter weekend for me.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes, it was. It started off with watching Star Wars Galactic Pals. Well, actually, that happened last week. And my kids loved it. They're these little shorts, and they just feature basically baby versions of the different aliens. You know, there's a Rodian, there's a Wookiee, there's a Jawa, there's an Ewok, a Gungan that they're going to feature. Right now, they just have a Wookiee and an Ewok short.
Okay.
Obsessed. And immediately it's like, oh, you can buy a toy. And so they were like, oh. So I went to Target to try and find it. Nope. There no Wookiees anywhere. A lot of Jawas. No Wookiees. So I had to enlist the best bounty hunter, which is my mom. And she found one. She found me two. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So the girls got them in their Easter baskets, and they are the Wookiee and the Ewok are now tucked in their little doll beds. Oh, actually, no one's sleeping with my 2-year-old. So aww. They are obsessed. Oh yeah. It's so good. This is the kind of Star Wars. I love that. I'm like, you guys did good. You knew how to tie in that merch.
Yeah, it seems like they keep making an effort with a lot of the stuff that's all ages to be a fun entry point that also ties into the toys so kids can learn to snuggle.
Exactly. How to care for your Wookiee.
Yeah, how to care for your Wookiee.
You've had a lifetime of Star Wars fandom that your mother's very aware of. We know this, but is she just used to getting a call or a text from you? I need some Wookiees.
Yes.
Gotta go find me Wookiees.
She said, I sent her the picture. She said, that is so weird looking. And then she goes to the Target customer service and they bring it out to her. And she goes, oh no. She goes, there's something wrong right there. There's a mark. And they said, I think that's his tooth.
This is to me sort of classic grandparent thing. Like, I don't know why my grandkid wants that, but I'll do anything to get it.
Exactly. Like my dad with Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah. Oh. And this is why it's so valuable to have Jen here in the news control room talking with us, because I don't think this is an experience Joseph and I are going to have anytime soon of looking for a kid's Wookiee toy with a tooth mark on it. Maybe. I don't want to count you out, Joseph, but I don't know. No, this is a good experience for Jen to share.
I don't know if I want to try a different life career at some point. Being a toy bounty hunter sounds like fun.
Well, Galactic Pals, we'll find out more about that. Joseph, maybe you've surprised me. Now I have a collection of Galactic Pals. Anything else in your Star Wars adventure?
Well, I'm going to be Googling away, and it might be that I want my Star Wars adventure next week to be going on a bounty hunting run to find cute Wookiees to purchase. But this weekend, I had a good life adventure. Almost everything ends up kind of being a Star Wars connected venture in some way, which is really great and really fun. But I've been planning for a long time to do a writing retreat. I really try to write every day, but I have so many different things that I want to work on, and it can be really hard to find time to really, really focus. You know, I think so much of our world is that way with social media and different things that are kind of wiring our brain to be like, unless I'm doing three things, I'm dropping the ball. But for me, especially on like bigger writing projects, it really works well to just have a big chunk of time. A lot of writers are like, do 2 pages a day. And they're just like, I want as much time as possible to write as much of the thing at once. So my wife very kindly supported me in doing this. Just got a hotel room with a kitchen and some frozen pizzas and just stayed locked in a hotel room writing most of the weekend. And one of the ways that it was Star Wars related is this particular script I'm working on has some action figure content. So I brought some specific action figures to inspire me. I feel very lucky that like nobody, you know, checks your bags at hotels. They're like, okay, we don't know why you're staying here, sir, but you have a computer, 3 action figures and many frozen pizzas. What are you doing in here?
Sounds like the start to a great movie.
I had a good time in there is what happened. Very, very lucky. Yeah. So in one of the action figures is this Obi-Wan Kenobi I've mentioned many times. It's the Revenge of the Sith pilot from 2005, but he's just a great Obi-Wan Kenobi figure. He comes with the headset, but I've never put the headset on because he just looks awesome. And he's been a friend on many desks. So I was like, he's got to come with me. And it was great to have him there, have Obi-Wan in a martini and some writing time. And I was very happy.
That's wonderful. That's Obi-Wan great. And a martini. That pairs nicely.
It's a nice pairing. Yeah. So I was very lucky to do that. That was kind of the big all-consuming adventure for me. How about you, Ken?
You know what? It was, in fact, actually, I didn't realize when this episode airs, it'll be my birthday. So I'm celebrating by sleeping in. That's from the past to tell me of the future. You get to sleep in. It's a working birthday. It's one of those times that it's a busy stretch of the year. So it's going to be fun. I'm going to celebrate a little bit later in the week with friends. I did take some moments and I was trying to race through Lego Skywalker Saga. And we did the big discussion of that recently in Force Center, but Joseph and I hadn't played that far. We got a few levels, few stories in, but now I'm like, I got to finish. I want to explore. And I love playing the Force Awakens level, but some of the missions were boring me a little bit. I found myself putting the controller down. I was like, I don't know. I love the game, but maybe I don't love it as much as I thought. Then I got to Octo. Holy moly. forget the story mode or the level. It just transported me to that thing that I love. And I talk about how I love maps or, love crawling around Jabba's Palace on Battlefront games. And man, I literally... because you're with Rey and Chewie's following you around, just the faithful Wookiee, just following you around. I explored that island from pillar to post and wondering how accurate it is. I mean, it's really accurate, but it's that point of like, how is that how far the Caretaker Village was from the Prime Jedi, I think? And it was fascinating. And there again, so just when I was maybe the game was, I was maybe tiring out of the game or something was happening in my head, my heart took over. And just the joy of being on that island, Porgs flying around, kind of bothering you at times, caretakers being really upset at your presence, a lot of cool things like that. It just reconnected those little parts of Star Wars joy where you just can be transported to a location in a movie and want to actually be there and then get to feel like you're there. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
That is so great to hear because I really love playing the Lego game and I haven't had any more time with it. But that's the thing that really drives me is just the thought of like, what? I can walk around and look at the Prime Jedi on the floor. Oh, yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. And when you play with Rey, she's a scavenger. So like the scavenger class of characters, you can build a glider and fly. So I kept going to the highest point I could without falling off. And then I'd glide down as far as the glider would let me. And I just kept doing it over and over until I realized I probably should get back to the story. But a lot of fun.
So fun. So,
yeah. You glide. Tomorrow it's your birthday. You glide as much as you want.
It's your birthday. Glide some more, Ray. I will do it. I will do that. There you go. Some Star Wars adventures, galactic pals, Ray gliding, frozen pizzas in a hotel room. It's the true Star Wars experience here. We're going to get some Star Wars news, and we are going to start with this one here. A 20-second clip turns into Kenobi news because I think that's what we all love. We love when actors are out promoting other things. They mention a comic because they're going to get asked about Star Wars and something that they're in. And then we got news. The news cycle spins into high gear. Live action Grand Inquisitor himself, Rupert Friend, was promoting Anatomy of a Scandal. And of course, was asked about Kenobi. Friend called the show and Ewan's performance a treat for fans of the originals. Put a pin in that thought. He said it was full of cameos and Easter eggs galore and called it a, quote, thrilling ride. So general thoughts and then specific thoughts on he does go on. He mentions kind of Alec Guinness, but originals, prequels. It was interesting to hear that word in describing the Kenobi series. Anyways, general thoughts. Joseph, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think as always, for me, these are exciting tidbits, and I always want to take them with a grain of salt from the perspective of, yes, he was an actor. Like, if you watch, I watched the whole video that I could find that he is, he's on the floor at some event promoting something else. So, like, I think it's always important when we're parsing that words to be like, this actor had something else on their mind and was stopped and, said some things maybe the words aren't, always like, I have looked it up in the Star Wars dictionary and verified this is exactly accurate. So I always approach these things that way. What I really loved, everything he said about Kenobi was great, but what I really loved is the rest of the video is him talking really thoughtfully about the thing he's actually promoting, this show Anatomy of a Scandal, where he plays a not great human being and is talking about how much he had long conversations before joining the project of why tell this story and who is this person who has done really bad things and why do we want to spend time understanding a bad person who would do bad things. And just for me, the kind of clearly the kind of actor that he is, that's a really thoughtful about it, made me super excited about him playing Grand Inquisitor. It made me excited about, are we going to get into a little bit of Grand Inquisitor background, you know, this character? And I know there is a lot out there, but there's a lot to pull from if he has a tortured background. And for me, it was just a little bit of hope that Grand Inquisitor is going to be a real character, not just an adversary, you know, not just an obstacle for Kenobi to get past, but they hired this great actor, this thoughtful actor that makes me feel like maybe there's a little bit of room to kind of dig in.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that idea. And Jen, you're doing your big Rebels rewatch, so you got to spend some time with the Grand Inquisitor recently in his past, the Jedi Temple Guard past, a little bit what's going on with him. Any thoughts on that there?
Yeah, I mean, that is such a great point, Joseph. I was really struck in that interview, how, like you're saying, how thoughtful he was, and now how Star Wars actors are speaking in Star Wars. I think he even said the word Star Wars canon, right? I'm not 100% sure. You know, he knows the importance of cameos, of Easter eggs. And what I liked about it was that he respects the material. He respects the material. He respects the fans. And this is the second interview now where I really, I see that respect and I like it. You know, because a lot of times people will say, oh, these are popcorn movies, whatever, or popcorn shows. But like you're saying, they can really go deep. These have some incredibly deep and important messages and characters. And so, This is more than just, you know, some space opera, right? So I liked that about him. And obviously it shows that they're getting really good media training too. So that appreciate that. But yeah, when he said that, I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, we're going to have to freeze frame this show. Like every scene we're going to be, look at that. Okay. Oh, did they say someone's name? Oh, is that so-and-so in the background? Like, I love it. Makes for, you know, lots of repeat viewings.
Yeah, absolutely. That Originals thing, I kind of almost felt like he had mentioned Alec Guinness, but when he said the Originals, there was something about it in the context that I felt like maybe that is the first time we are hearing the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy in total being called the Originals.
Yes, yeah. I think I'm having that reaction to it. But I love it. I love that reaction. You're right. It was, I think, maybe the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, because it didn't feel like he was like, this isn't like those prequels Ewan was in before. He wasn't like that. He was like, you know, all the other Obi-Wan stuff. It's really building on that.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. Because I think that it was, for a long time, it was a way for people to say, you know, to basically, you know, minimize, oh, those are the prequels, right? Without even realizing it, it kind of became had a negative connotation. So the fact that he's all putting it together as it should be, right?
Yeah.
That's so great. Great observation.
Yeah, it was fun to think about there. Now, of course, he dropped this word cameo, Easter eggs we get, but cameo. And look, Rupert Friend knows what, you know, the SAG distinction between guest star, recurring, and cameo. You know, it can be confusing. But what do we make of that word? And then we get into, will this run us all back into the great cameo debate that Mando season 2 and Bad Batch, among other things, kind of got the fandom swimming around in. So what do you make of that, Jennifer? Cameos in Kenobi, are you expecting anything specific? Do you think he's just throwing that as a casual term? What's your thoughts on that?
I think there's going to be, I don't want to say a lot of cameos, but I would hope that we would see some familiar faces. I mean, I like all types of cameos, right? You can have somebody in the background, like Muff Tack, you know, like drinking something in the background. That's great. Give me that. But I also love the cameos where it's maybe a little bit more like Dr. Evazin and Ponda Baba in Rogue One, right? Like their cameos, it added to their backstory, being wanted men. It gave context to like the decraniated. So even though it's just a short moment, it actually served a very good purpose. So Mm-hmm. I'm happy with both types, though. Give me all of them. I don't care, but but I like it. I like it. It makes me excited for that.
Yeah, and then I want to come back to you, Jen, in a second here about just the overall debate, because you weren't on the Bad Batch report with us and everything when this debate was just like a fire raging through the fandom on cameos and the purpose of it there. But Joseph, your thoughts on that word as it relates to the Kenobi show?
Yeah, I think I try to be mindful of, I think the way we use some terms are shifting, you know, and being used to reference lots of things. I think, I don't think cameo and Easter egg have as defined a meaning. I think people kind of, you know, interpret them differently. Like, I remember when Solo came out and there was a kind of like, is that an Easter egg or a reference that he mentioned a thermal detonator? And like, to me, that's not an Easter egg. That's what one of the kinds of grenades is called in Star Wars, you know? Yes. Anybody who uses a gun is not a reference to Godfather, you know? So sometimes to me, I think there are kind of shifting interpretations. And Jennifer, I think you're so right to kind of talk about different cameos, right? Like a cameo can be like, yeah, they pop on for a second and it's a fun blip and maybe it's meaningful, maybe it's not, you know, R5-D4 and Mando or Pone DeBaba and Dr. Evazan, or, you know, truly a fun background character that, oh, wow, if you didn't know that was that character, fun. But then there's like, I think we're using the word cameo for things that, like, you know, Ahsoka in Mandalorian season 2, I think sometimes gets lumped in as there's so many cameos. Like, that's not a cameo. She was vital to the plot and part of the story was about her, you know, that's a guest starring, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really mindful of, you know, that could mean a lot of things. And even the way he said it, the wonderful cameos from people I obviously can't tell you, like, is he talking characters or actors, you know?
Right.
Maybe this is a Daniel Craig, it's not about the character. It's a fun here. We need a barfly at Chalmers.
Yeah.
And it's Nicolas Cage, you know, it's Nicolas Cage voicing a Rodian or whatever, you know, like that. Right. That's a cameo, right?
In
terms of predictions, I think that there is a strong possibility of Ian McDiarmid as Palpatine. We've talked about it. Other places, Ian McDiarmid had this sort of fun, cheeky, you never know. but I think it's a cameo in terms of the definition of cameo as a short appearance. it makes a lot of sense to me because I think he's such a pressure point on Vader. You know, the story of Anakin really wanting a father figure and needing that. And he had two father figures. He had Kenobi and then he had Palpatine who manipulated him. But now he's in this point in his life where he knows how much Palpatine manipulated him. And if Kenobi is trying to get through Vader, it seems to kind of make narrative sense to Vader's soul to feature some interaction with this, you know, anchor to the dark side, physically seeing Palpatine, you know? And I think if Palpatine has any inclination Kenobi is still alive, he's got opinions about that. Kenobi's a problem for him. He knows Kenobi is a risk, you know? So just one scene with a hollow call between Vader and Palpatine makes sense to me.
Yeah. Absolutely does. Jen, any names pop to mind? And then we'll ask about this cameo debate.
I can't even think of any names. Palpatine, I forgot. There's so many things kind of floating around with Ahsoka and the Andor show and obviously Obi-Wan. And I'm like, who are we going to see next? I don't honestly, I don't know. I just think it would be fun, like you're saying, in Shaman's Cantina to see one of those aliens would just be a fun little nod. No, let me ask, would you think that like Max Rebo, I don't feel like Max Rebo is necessary in the Book of Boba Fett. I don't really feel of him as a cameo. Would you say so?
No, the star of the show. Absolutely. What I would say. Yeah.
A part of that world. So it makes sense if he's there.
Yeah. To me, if the camera had panned by and you saw the band playing once and you never dealt with them, heard of him again, she never said his name, then I'd be like, it's a cameo. To me, it was like Max was alive and well, and maybe still will be in Star Wars storytelling.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's such a big difference between like character and actor. And maybe that's one of the shifting ways that we're using that word is like, Max Rebo is a character. And we know him before from before, but he's a part of the world building and the culture of Tatooine. And like, when I think of Cameo, I think of like, you know, in the Star Trek movie, now I'm forgetting the actor's name, in the sixth Star Trek movie, there was a, you know, a famous actor who had like, he told one of the other characters that to report to the bridge, and it's like, hey, it's famous guy.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm just spacing on his name, which it doesn't matter. So I'll think of it later, but it used to be about that. Like, he doesn't have a major role. This famous actor just loves Star Trek. So a role that anybody would normally play, that's just literally like a, sir, you were needed on the bridge, is given to a famous person. That's a cameo. But then when it's about a character, it feels different to me because it's world building.
Yeah, no, you mentioned two examples I love already. The Daniel Craig was a cameo in Force Awakens and a damn good one. Still one of my favorite moments. But the thermal detonator thing, and I remember you talking about during the Solo review days, that's not an Easter egg. That's a grenade in Star Wars. Now, it's referencing maybe other things that might happen with him. I can get that.
It has a connection to the Leia Bush thing. Yeah. I get that.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to play. Yeah, we're going to deny that. But yeah, I think you're right, and I think it is one of those examples of a word, and there's a lot in our society now. I guess you could blame social media, because why not? But I just think the way things go, the meaning does shift, because I'm thinking like Palpatine to me is a very realistic possibility, but so's like young Biggs, and I'd call that like a little character cameo.
Yeah,
this is an actor cameo that works. Kitster, there's got to be a Kitster, right?
Major character. Christian Slater is the actor. Yes. I was thinking of.
Christian Slater, isn't it? Right. Yes. No, and I was in the theater for Undiscovered Country and was like, hey, it's Christian Slater. And that was it. That was done.
Right?
Imagine if they, Rudabaugh. Yeah.
I hope that's Chalmers Cantina. It's chock full of aliens we know from New Hope. And then just with no other makeup, Nick Cage is just there. Just being Nick Cage.
In the corner. Yes.
That's not it. Jen, your thoughts again. When I say you weren't covering Bad Batch with us, and that was part of the discussion. Part of Mando season two had that, and definitely Book of Boba Fett. Your thoughts. Catch us up with your thoughts on this great debate on cameo again, whatever that term means, but other characters showing up in other shows, and what that the positives and negatives of that in your mind.
I like it. If they serve a purpose, I think for the animated shows specifically, I think that it's helpful. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit later on about Boba Fett. Or are we? Yes, we are. I'm going to talk about him. That's what it was. But thinking about Boba Fett and the Clone Wars, that's not a cameo per se, but like bringing in this other character, you know, I remember at the time I was like, oh, okay, but now I see the importance of it. And so I think it's important to, I mean, we can't all have brand new characters all the time. We got to bring, let's play with all the toys that we have, right? It just makes sense. And so, but I do know, and I haven't watched all of the Bad Batch, but I do know that there was some criticism around a lot of the cameos, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. And I think I come down on the side of case by case basis, measure their weight to the story, measure what they're bringing to the main characters or character and what the main characters take from them. And I think time after time again in Bad Batch and Book of Boba Fett, but Bad Batch, I think it served great purpose for the story. Mm-hmm. But that's not everyone shared that opinion, which again, totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get the concern that I don't even think of any of those as cameos for myself, for my own definition of cameo. Yeah. I think of those as guest stars or, you know, people in the galaxy that other characters encounter or because they travel in the same circle or want the same thing. And I get the concern that sometimes fans feel like it makes the galaxy too small, that the same, you know, 25 people in whatever time era are always bumping into each other. Hondo knows everybody.
Yes, he does.
And there's a time in the Clone Wars where nobody could turn around without Hondo being a hello. But I don't mind because I love Hondo. So I get that concern. And I know that there's a hunger, I think, for people wanting to stay super, super focused on whatever the core cast is. But I think I'm just kind of okay. Maybe it's because I love the Clone Wars so much. And the Clone Wars is just, it's got the spine of Ahsoka, Anakin, Obi-Wan. But then it's an anthology and it just goes wherever it wants. And I'm kind of okay with that for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts to what makes a great cameo? Again, that definition can be loose, but thinking in the smaller scale ones, the Daniel Craig one comes to mind again because I loved it so much, especially because I couldn't believe I missed that the first viewing. Just everything about it screams James Bond, everything about it, including the news stories that he was on set. Like, oh, how could I miss that? Any ideas, Joseph, what to you makes a great cameo in Star Wars?
Yeah, I mean, the Daniel Craig is absolutely great, the FN-1824, because it is just recognizable enough, that great, you know, voice. And his chops, his comedy chops really add to that moment. And my blaster, you know, is so, so great. I think Justin Theroux is the codebreaker, is the master codebreaker. That's a really great one. I think that's maybe that's like a power and the fun of cameos when they're at their height for me. Like the Christian Slater example is like, it's cool that Christian Slater was powerful enough to just be like, I don't care, I want to be on in Star Trek, so I will tell somebody to get out of bed. The Codebreaker one plays on a little bit of our knowledge of Justin Theroux. Like he's got that vibe of, you know, being a kind of polished, you know, elegant guy. That's not all of his roles. I don't know if he was polished and elegant while co-writing Iron Man 2. But, you know, it made sense for who he was, who he is.
Right.
Yeah.
And that took me, I was like, is that Justin Theroux? Like, oh, wow, okay. But that was a great one. You know, another cameo, I think I would consider it a cameo, is Jason Sudeikis in Mandalorian. Yeah. Remember, he punches Grogu, right?
Yeah. And he's still working in this industry. How is that possible?
That one was so funny. I mean, I feel like that was that before Ted Lasso or simultaneously. I mean, because Jason Sudeikis had always kind of played those types of like jerky kind of characters.
Yeah.
Obviously, now we have a different side to him with Ted Lasso. But that was I thought that was a really fun one.
I love that.
That was great. I think he's super, super great in all of his roles.
Yeah.
I think the greatest cameo of all time is Rick McCallum in The Phantom Menace at the end of the film there, receiving everyone on Naboo with Ben Burtt standing next to him. I think that's the greatest one.
I think you nailed it.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's part of what makes it fun when it is a true cameo, an actor cameo. The character ones, the background ones are always fun. Even something like, EV-99 showing up. You mentioned R5. Even that, even a BD unit or whether it's BD-1, I still never figured out where they came down on that, if it is the same. But, those things are fun as well, where it brings that little spurt of joy and you kind of move on. And it doesn't take away from the story.
Right. Yeah, agreed.
There we go. Well, that is our first story of the day. Just looking at Kenobi, we can't wait. That's why we're talking about Kenobi. At the end of the day, Kitster's there or not, we're just excited to get to Kenobi. Before we take a quick break, we're going to recommend an audiobook for you. Joseph, what do we got today?
We are recommending Queen's Hope by E.K. Johnston, the next great Padme adventure.
That's right. It is. And we are going to be looking at it next week. So get it before we review it so you can follow along with us. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right. Quick break. And we'll be back to talk more news here on ForceCenter.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Four Center, the big show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. It is the newsroom of our galaxy. We are looking at this story here. I didn't even put a headline on it. I was so excited to get to it. Looking at my notes here. This is now about the High Republic, and phase two of the High Republic is on the way. This we know. We got a little tease of what's to come on the Star Wars High Republic show with Christina Arial and a bunch of High Republic authors, including some of the newer ones who are joining the team, Tessa Gratton, George Mann, among others. Many were featured on that show. Check out that clip. We recommend that. As we know, the second phase takes the story 150 years back, at least at the start. We'll see where it all ends up. And we have cover art for the new YA novel Path of Deceit, co-written by Justina Ireland and her pal, new High Republic author Tessa Gratton. And through that, we learn of a new Pantoran Jedi simply called Mother, a new Everini character called Marta Rowe, related to Markion Rowe. I put 3 question marks because you think so, but they didn't exactly say that. And we will be going back to the planet Dalna to meet the group, the Path of the Open Hand. Those are some of the bigger reveals of it there. Now, Jed, let's flip this around. I think we want to bring you in here because I know with your life schedule and raising 2 Padawans, you might not have been able to spend a ton of time with the High Republic. Am I correct in assuming that?
Oh my gosh. I watched that episode of the High Republic and I was like, I have no idea. It was very jarring for me. I think I know a lot about Star Wars. I did not know anything about what she was saying. And I here's the thing. I actually, this has been on my radar mainly because people are so excited. They're constantly sharing their enthusiasm for these characters. They're really passionate about these storylines. So I'm like, I want to dive in. So I have The Light of the Jedi. I've had it on my nightstand for a while now, but I finally dove in last week and I'm so excited. It's this whole other side of the galaxy, timeline world that I get to explore. It's thrilling.
Yeah. I mean, Light of the Jedi, I still think I call my favorite Star Wars book of recent years. It's so good. Wow.
Yeah. I think it's just it's a great introduction to everything that is kind of at stake and all the themes and ideas that they're going to be wrestling with in the High Republic. But it's also just the way it's written is just such a cinematic Star Wars novel. It's still a book. It's still great prose, but just the way it's structured, like every page, I was just like flipping, like I could hear the Star Wars theme. It just has such great motion.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, it's been a while. Yeah.
That's what I want to know from you, Jen, here. You are a non-casual Star Wars fan, but you are forced to kind of have a casual point of view and perspective on the High Republic, and you're picking up on other people's joy. Forget the names you don't know. You're definitely sensing that. And what does that mean to you as a Star Wars fan?
I'm excited because it's cohesive. So the passion actually reminds me of the olden days with, you know, the before times, Thrawn trilogy and stuff like that.
EU stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The EU stuff. And I remember at that time, I read some of the books, but it felt like it was a lot. It was kind of like all over the place, but this is cohesive. And there's, you know, recurring characters that show up. And that to me was really exciting because I need to have that kind of like through line. I need to know what's going on. And I've been hearing people talk about Skeer. There's all sorts of crazy villains. It's real. Talk about new. You know, this is all brand new. And that to me is really something to look forward to. I can't wait.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
So when we say the name Markion Roe, you really don't know.
I had no idea. But I'll tell you what, that cover art, that is beautiful. It's like really also fantasy. I don't know if the other books are like that. Does it kind of have like a fantasy feel to it? Like the books, would you say, no?
I think it's really, there's an effort, I think, to really match the space fantasy of Star Wars. Like, so I think there are elements that are definitely like, not as science fiction as some of the novels sometimes are, that it's really rooted in the like weird monsters are going to show up. We just read one where, what was it, Ken? Ice skaters, but ice gators, like alligators, you know, it's really, I think, making an effort to embrace that this is not science fiction. Star Wars, you know, hasn't been science fiction. It's that very pulpy fantasy. And I think because this phase two is jumping back in time, and it's a real kind of frontier story where maybe the Jedi are encountering planets and cultures that they haven't necessarily had a lot of contact with because it's frontier times. I think there might be even more of that discovering strange new worlds vibe.
Yeah.
Wow.
That checks out. Well, Joseph, let me ask you this. What do you, general thoughts on those reveals here, and then we'll talk about what we might want to get from this information from this time period. thoughts on Mother and Marta Roe and going back to Dalna?
Yeah. Well, I really like the title because they're doing such a great job of, they've got people invested in these characters and now even the relatives of characters we've met, and then they give them the titles that always sound like something bad's going to happen. So, Path of Deceit. Is that going to have a happy ending? So I have not read the Markion Roe two-part comic yet. This is, if you want to be completist, it is a lot to catch up with. So there might be some more details, you know, that I haven't read yet in that comic. But in a lot of the storytelling with him, there's always been this suggestion that I remember that his family or his culture or his people were wronged in some way by the Jedi, in that this initial conflict with the Nile, a lot of the Nile are just kind of treating it like the Jedi are space do-gooders who are in his way. And Markion Roe kind of has more of that attitude of like, sure, think that. It's personal, you know. Yeah. So I think a big thing hanging over this jump to the past is learning a little bit more about that. So seeing a relative of Markion Roe is super exciting. And seeing that it's this woman who looks so coded to be such a good person, right? Like, looks kind, holding flowers, flowing, you know, kind gown. Like, just her face looks kind, and it makes me excited for that story that Star Wars is so good at telling, that villains aren't just born villains. You know, the Roes aren't the evil family that people become villains when they make bad choices. So seeing a relative of Markion's Roe who is not a villain is really exciting.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And it is familiar territory for Star Wars in a little bit, but I think that's what I love. And Markion's been so different, and because there's such direct hurt from the Jedi, that's been inferred. And I have read issue one of the Markian Rowe comic and very good so far. Yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested how it all ties in and Dalna being a place where maybe the Jedi made a boo-boo. And that comes up from now time again. And just the Jedi, how they can go back and how we're going to learn about that and then maybe pick back up and then Jedi have to make some adjustments and hopefully they can as an order. I'm excited by that, and especially going to Dalna, getting a little bit more of the story. They've done such a great job. As Jen said, it's very cohesive. Jen, you're very right. It's a cohesive story with little things that you start picking up and it does get overwhelming at times, but then you're like, oh, that little morsel, I think we're going to go back and get the full meal. And this is what I'm very excited for phase two.
Yeah. Yeah. The path of the open hand. I love that turn of phrase. And I'm really hoping with this sort of frontier aspect and some of the hints that have been in the books about Jedi having some conflict with some different cultures who have a different attitude toward the Force. There's some suggestions of that on another planet as well as this Dalna conflict. So a name of a group, the path of the open hand, sounds to me like a group with a different philosophy of the Force or else just a different philosophy of life and culture. And they've done such a good job of making these books exciting and fun and action, but also like really diving into the philosophy of the Force and the Jedi, and I just kind of can't wait for more of that.
I can't either. And Jen, maybe you'll catch up. You know, there's only like 19 books, 32 comics.
I'm so far behind. But it does make me wonder, do you think that they're going to maybe turn this into anything live action, animated? Could you see that? Or is it just its own thing, really?
I think they might play in the era. I think they've created some elbow room without spoilers, like a lot of the main books, they're all important, but a lot of the adult reader books, like Light of the Jedi, are kind of based around an event, and then the other books are kind of how all these different characters reacted to that event, which creates this great storytelling space where, like, you know, there's kind of this main event that happens in Light of the Jedi that kicks it off, and there's plenty of room to just someday say, like, this is the story of this other Jedi, and that this is how it affected them.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I'm in a weird spot where, like, I remember finishing Light of the Jedi. I might have even said it on our review show, but just like almost bummed it was a book. It was so good, which is, that's not with any negative connotation. Just like, God, that was so good. I saw every page in my mind. Maybe that should have been a movie. Maybe. And I started having those doubts about it. The more we read, the more we're into it. Even with the comics, you get a little visual feel for it. You can see what some of the characters look like and not just have to imagine them, which I often fail at doing that. Well, I almost don't want it ever to go live action. I almost cringe when I say that. Some people might be upset with that or something, but, and I know there's the thing of the Acolyte is at the end of the era. I still contend that that's going to be its own thing. That it's just in that time period. And they kind of said that because it, my canon junkies might know it crosses over on the calendar, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
I interpret that right now as just like there's in the storytelling, they're breaking down the eras and that's the era it happens in. Not like you should expect to see specific characters pop up or anything like that.
Yeah.
Cameos.
Cameos.
Right.
Yeah. Well, any other general thoughts there on phase two or anything on that cover, Joseph, Jennifer?
I'm just motivated to catch up on the last bits of phase one I still need to read. Got a few comic books.
Same.
I know. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. I don't know about live action. I do think maybe some sort of like omnibus version of this story, like once it's all done, to be like, hey, you can't read every one of these books, but maybe you can kind of get a gist of it in some way. I think there is an opportunity there.
Yeah. Okay. That could work. That could work. And one final thought, Jen, to you, going back to this idea of where your position is on it, just not being able to get into it. Do you feel, other than celebrating other people's joys, I know you do as a Star Wars fan, do you truly feel left out? Do you just have to chalk it up? I'm never going to really get to it. And that's just the way it's going to be. You're more up on Galactic Pals than me and Joseph, at least for right now. So it's a turnabout fair play, I guess. Yeah. Do you feel it all in that way? Like I just can't catch up.
You know, back in the day, I would have said yes, but I'm channeling Hansel. Never tell me the odds, even though it's all these things I have to do. But no, I mean, look at it. It's taken me this long now to get into Star Wars Rebels, and I love it. And so I'm going to make time because it's this world that I love and getting to as that cover again. I go back to that cover. I'm like, who are these characters? I want to know. And it's not, I can't just dive right into that book. I got to know the whole thing. So that's why I'm determined to do it. I mean, didn't that one character have like elf ears? I was so intrigued.
You're right.
Yeah.
So I'm into it.
Love it. Love it. Well, we are in your corner there. No odds given. How about that? See what happens there. Now, for our final story, we're going to go back a little old school. Jen, you really want to talk about this story. So like the old days, you're going to lead us through the final story of today.
Oh my gosh, this feels so official. Well, so Bryce Dallas Howard recently did an interview with Romper where she shared her Star Wars memories and answered some questions about the Mandoverse. It's a really fun, short interview, and the interviewer's children were a part of it, which also made it equally delightful. She said that Star Wars has always been a part of her life thanks to her dad's pal, George Lucas. When she was a kid, she got a Star Wars figure for Christmas every year, even before she had seen the movies. And later on, she became good friends with Natalie Portman because they went to summer camp together when they were 15. And then when Natalie went off to film the prequels, she invited Bryce to visit her on set. So she kind of has grown up around Star Wars. So by the time that she got on board for The Mandalorian, she said that she didn't realize how much she actually knew about Star Wars. Now, when it comes to Star Wars knowledge, she said that Dave Filoni knows Star Wars better than anyone, other than George Lucas, of course. But the big reveal from this story, and the reason why it was all over my Twitter timeline, came when the interviewer's 12-year-old son told Bryce that he loves the Clone Wars. And she told him, quote, "You're going to love the Ahsoka show that's coming up. I cannot tell you anything, but what I can say is that you being a fan of the Clone Wars will greatly be rewarded," end quote. So that is what people, what does this mean? So some are speculating that maybe they're bringing back a character from the Clone Wars. Maybe it's Rex, maybe some flashbacks between her and Anakin. So let's speculate responsibly, shall we? Let's start with Joseph. You're like, this is fun. Joseph, what are your thoughts? What do you think that this means?
Yeah, I mean, much like the Rupert friend, I always want to start with the grain of salt of like, I saw this all over my Twitter feed too. And it's like, I don't have time to read the article, but that's really fascinating. I wonder the tea leaves. And like, she's having a kind conversation with a 10-year-old, right?
Right.
Just kind of got to put it in context, right? Because when you just see it as clickbait, it's like, that's not a press release from Lucasfilm. That's a fun interview where she is kindly talking to a 10-year-old fan. So I always just want to take the grain of salt approach to, you know, where did this quote come from?
Right.
But I think it could be a very general thing of, yeah, the Clone Wars, if you love Clone Wars, you probably love Ahsoka, and this is all about Ahsoka. I think it could be really general. I also think with the reports of Hayden Christensen being involved, I think there's definitely a chance of a Force spirit Anakin communing with Ahsoka, or Ahsoka learning to commune with Anakin. But I really do kind of think there will be an Anakin and Ahsoka in the Clone Wars flashback. I think that there is a ton of narrative reason for that if, you know, Ahsoka is still working through what happened to Anakin, and thinking, continuing on her path of how do I personally want to define being a Jedi. So there's a ton of narrative purpose. And then I just kind of think Dave Filoni, if he has the opportunity to do an Anakin and Ahsoka Clone Wars scene in live action, why would he not, you know?
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Ken, do you think there's just going to be some cameos or maybe some scenes?
It's so funny. Joseph mentioned that grain of salt starting point. You had emailed back. Jen was like, hey, can we talk about this story? I really liked you. And I was like, oh, I hadn't heard that story. And then I realized, oh, no, I had seen some of those tweets. I just hadn't paid too much attention to them. And then, yeah, when you consider the source, she might just be saying, oh, you like Ahsoka? You're going to get 6 episodes of Ahsoka. You're going to like that.
Right.
So yeah, it's great. But yeah, I do think in a weird way it confirms some of those Rex thoughts and flat Anakin Ahsoka flashback thoughts in a way. It could be just totally on the surface, but because it is the Filoni of it all. Now, we don't know, other than the Peter Ramsey story last week and Filoni, we don't know any of the other directors unless I'm mistaken. I hope to God that Bryce Dallas Howard is one of the directors.
That was my next question.
Yeah. I hope to God that right? Cause she's so good and she's so good at getting so much out of little tiny scenes and bringing her perspectives and experiences. Just this interview shows her warm heart and what she gets about kids and their relationship to Star Wars. I love that. So yeah, I'm really excited for that. So that's wild speculation at this point, but it's also could be a safe bet. Anyway, as far as actual things, I'll just finish up with this thought. I think some sort of emotional resolution in some of the blank spots in that story. There's not a ton because I think season 7 really did a great job and took us right up to and through Revenge of the Sith in a way. So I something was Ahsoka and Anakin in those moments that maybe we haven't seen or that we've imagined. But also I'm also looking forward to the possibility of a Force Ghost Anakin too.
Yeah, I think Force Spirit's a good possibility. I know I've said this before in almost every time we talk about Ahsoka, but I do think she's heading to Mortis eventually. But I don't think that Bryce Dallas Howard leaned down to a 10-year-old and like, you like the weird, creepy Force planet? Little kid, if you're 10 years old, you have a Mortis tattoo, you're going to love this. Like, I don't think that's what she was referencing.
Yeah, she said, did you like Ahsoka? Yeah, she's going to be locked forever on a planet as a god.
Oh my God.
What? Did she get off? No. She'll be there forever.
Or the she's going to choose to balance the Force like a real hero.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. It's a great interview. And she just seems like such a kind, genuine person who just is enjoying herself, you know, playing in the world of Star Wars, and she's friends with all these people that make Star Wars. It's like a natural fit. And I'm like, all right, when are they going to hand her the reins to do a live action film? Come on. Yeah. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's ready
on that as well. And I'm fascinated by celebrity summer camp stories. Always seems to be those kind of stories that pop up. You know, I went to this for that person. My favorite is Richard Lewis and Larry David hating each other at summer camp when they were 12 and then becoming best friends in stand-up comedy later. But this one's pretty fascinating. Natalie Portman at summer camp at 15 that's prequel era, man. She's gearing up for Phantom Menace. That is fascinating. That's a fascinating summer camp story there. Love that.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Oh, one last thing. You guys mentioned it at the top about the handrails. Right? Didn't the kid ask, like, why are there no handrails in Star Wars? And she said something effective. Oh, you'll find out.
Yeah, right? I actually wrote that one down. The kid says, yeah, I wanted to ask you why there are no handrails in Star Wars. And she says, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked me that. I can't tell you anything specific, but all I can say is keep watching. It's such a great general answer, but I keep imagining it being turned into clickbait of like, confirmed, Hayden Christensen is playing a handrail in Ahsoka.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? What kind of storyline is this going to be revolving around the handrails? Okay.
I'm quite frankly surprised we didn't get articles from some of those websites we are so used to seeing where it's like, confirmed, Star Wars will answer handrail question in Ahsoka series. Surprised we didn't get that.
Maybe we will.
Yep.
Yeah. Jen, I think your director question thoughts are so great about if some of this, you know, the fact that she's talking about Ahsoka is an indication that she worked on it or something else. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I mean, to me, I'm like, if she's not working on it, well, I'll just be disappointed. But if she's not working on it, it just means that she's chatting with Dave Filoni a lot and she's hanging out with those people, even though she's not work. That, to me, it makes me think that she's like actively a part of that world. Either she's in pre-production or she's there, you know, she's going to do something else later on. And that gets me excited because I like that because I think she's a fantastic director. So that was an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah.
Relationship with him.
I really hope that she is doing some Ahsoka episodes, but it's also, I think, you know, the directors haven't been announced for Mando season 3. So, you know, maybe she did something there.
Right.
And I was also just thinking about like, if she is really in the loop, like you're saying, Jennifer, that, you know, it might be sort of that the larger, the threads are coming together on the larger connections of the Mandoverse. Like, I like the way she called it the Boba Fett season, right? Like, not Boba Fett separate show, Boba Fett season that's part of this overall Mandoverse thing. And it made me feel like, is Ahsoka really, you know, tied to this whole bigger picture of this era?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh, I love this new era. There's just so many great creators. I mean, Deborah Chow, John Favreau, Dave Filoni, Bryce. It gives me hope, you know?
Yeah.
For a long time we didn't know. And they really seem to be, you know, talking with each other, collaborating with each other, trying to make these stories all cohesive. There it is again. I love that. And I know that that's what a lot of fans have been wanting for a long time.
Yeah. And I think we're getting it.
Mm-hmm. We're getting it. So that I feel like now, should I end it? I don't have an ending. Oh, that wraps up the news, that news portion.
It does.
We need a news gavel and discuss.
No handrails in our newsroom here. We just jump off. Now, appreciate that, Jen. Thanks for pointing out that story. Great to read. I just love that Howard family. Clint too. Love you too, Star Wars Clint. Before we go, we'd like to look at some Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars past. And on April 23rd, 2010, Boba Fett, that once mysterious bounty hunter in a mask, made his debut in the Clone Wars as a big part of the second season episode, Death Trap. When I say big part, it's pretty much his episode. Considering where we ended up going with the character and the depths we explored with him as he changed in the Book of Boba Fett, or the Book of Boba Fett season of the Mandoverse, how did we feel then about his inclusion in the show, and what's the value of it now? Go back to 2010, Jen. What were your Boba Fett thoughts then?
I mean, I was like, oh, this is cool. It's introducing it to, you know, introducing him to the younger generation. Now I'm like, oh, thank goodness we had young Boba Fett in Attack of the Clones, in the Clone Wars. I can't imagine watching. I don't think the Book of Boba Fett would work without that. You know what I mean?
Because I do.
Right. It's just like we get into the character's head. We learn how consumed he is by revenge. He's a troubled kid. Rightfully so. He's angry at Mace Windu. And so I like getting to know his thought process. And it just makes the character that much more interesting. When we see him disillusioned in the Book of Boba Fett, when we get those flashbacks of him, you know, in Attack of the Clones, all of that works together beautifully. And it's all thanks to the prequels and the Clone Wars. So, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, love that. I think you're right about, you know, the Book of Boba Fett. Not that it needed it, but it used that so well. It used that past, used that character, used Daniel Logan so well.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. Joseph, your thoughts on Boba Fett in 2010, if you can believe it was that long ago.
Yeah, I can't remember when I first heard that he appeared in the Clone Wars, because I was not watching the Clone Wars animated series as it aired.
Right.
I'm sure when I heard it, I was happy, because in 2002, that was one of my favorite parts of Attack of the Clones. You know, I had, as we've talked about, I had plenty of criticisms and made jokes, but I just really loved Attack of the Clones because it was just so rich with the, you know, lore and canon and information about this galaxy and connections. And one of the things that I really loved is, like, when Boba Fett, you got the information of, oh, well, this is who Boba Fett is. He's a clone of Jango Fett and all this. Like, I remember sitting there in the theater going, oh, did I need that? Blah, 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 all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then when it got to, here's that great Star Wars story of no one's just born a villain. You know, they respond to trauma. They respond to, can I make a different choice? I loved that shot. It's so tragic and introduces all these great questions about the cycle of violence and questioning, did Mace really have to do that? So when I can't remember when I found out that Kid Boba Fett was back in the Clone Wars animated series, but that was like a fist pumping moment of like, great.
Yeah,
we're going to follow through on the promise of that great beat from Attack of the Clones. So I always liked it. And I liked it that it was so direct that it was, yeah, no, I got to get Mace Windu in that. I'm just hanging around with, you know, awful bounty hunters in terms of parental guidance. I just so agree with Jen. I literally think pumped my fist or said yes at the beginning of Book of Boba Fett when we got the scenes of, you know, Camino, the hand on the glass as his father left, and the helmet, because it's a complete story now. Yeah. It's this is what traumatized this child. This is what made him think that I had not only vengeance, but like armor, protection, close yourself off, you know, is the only way to survive, you know. And if you don't have that kind of origin story, that's like the beginning. That's what he has to get past, choose to get past in Book of Boba Fett. And I think those appearances in the Clone Wars really make it a complete story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't forget what I said specifically. I'd have to see if Grace remembers. I just remember that first episode of Book of Boba Fett, like out loud saying a few times, "Oh my God, they're doing it. Oh, they're going for it. Oh, they're going right to it. We're not even waiting. Yeah. Oh, so oh my God.
Immediately." It's just, that's what I always wanted of like, let's take the best bounty hunter ever, silent, deadly, or not very talkative, deadly Boba Fett, and marry it with this traumatized child. And they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just remember Favreau's kind of attitude and not attitude, like, a negative attitude, but just like his thoughts on the prequels at Star Wars Celebration Chicago at that convention, of just him being like, Dave's teaching me. I just like was like, wow, you're getting there. That's Camino. But as far as 2010, where I was watching the show, when Boba Fett appeared in this episode, I opened up my window and I leaned out and I just yelled, "Cameos are ruining Star Wars." And no one's listening. No. I think I at the time I had those, you mentioned, Joseph, the kind of those surface level complaints and this and that. But I always talk about my relationship with the prequels and the reason it changed, the seeds were already there. I always liked that shot of him with the helmet of his father. It always tugged on me in a way I couldn't fully put into words. You know, there's just something so beautiful about that shot. So I liked it. So when he came back, it didn't rub me too wrong. I think I might've been like a little bit like, Boba Fett as a kid, I don't know. But then what they do with him just in the Clone Wars, just in those episodes, especially the ones later on with Mama Singh for a little while and the gang he's running with, everything. It was so good even then. And now you're right. The long play, they get to do the long play now, getting all this stuff coming back with this era. And it just all syncs up so nicely. It is a complete story for me. And it all began April 23rd, 2010. Daniel Logan returning to the role. And I believe, and someone said, I didn't know this. He's doing, I think Daniel Logan's doing Boba Fett in the Skywalker saga. Has anyone heard that? Anyone out there?
Oh, the voice?
Yeah. I have to confirm that on air. Someone just said that to me in a stream, and I was like, is he actually doing that? I guess yes, he is. Look at that. He is.
Oh, that's
it all
great.
Comes full circle. Yeah.
He is a great ambassador of Star Wars. He clearly loves it.
Yes.
Really is. Really is. Yes. So there you go. We looked toward the past. April 23rd, 2010, Boba Fett returns to Star Wars. That is it for this week, my friends. We have taken a look at the news, more on the way, more maybe convention panel confirmations, all that kind of cool stuff. And we at Force Center 2 will have an announcement next week of a podcast appearance we'll be doing at Star Wars Celebration. We'll update you on that. Just wanted to tease you there. Before we get on out of here, we're going to remind you where to find us. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Thanks for watching the live Q&A a couple weeks ago. We're going to do it again in May. We'll let you know. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Just search. You'll find us. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. And from there, you can get into our Discord, where you can talk Star Wars with Force Center friends every day. You can follow me at Catnapsuck or go to catnapsuck.com. We always like to highlight some charities or things of note out in the world, in that crazy, crazy world. Once again, highlighting the GoFundMe for the Kyiv Independent, which is the independent news source out there, getting information to all of us around the world and those in the affected areas of Ukraine. Jennifer, what do you got? Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Jennifer Landa, TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138. And today I am spotlighting Community Coalition in Los Angeles. They are a grassroots, people-driven nonprofit organization. They empower the residents of South LA to change the conditions in their community. They have also worked with J.J. Abrams and Katie McGrath And they host an annual summer program called the CDF Freedom Schools, which works with Black and Latino students over the summer to strengthen their reading skills and foster community involvement, social action. It's a fantastic organization that does incredible work. You can find out more about them at CocoSouthLA.com.
Wonderful stuff there. Joseph, take us home.
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. I am in particular going to plug TikTok. That's at Joseph Scrimshaw. And I'm trying to do at least two of my not unboxing action figure videos a week. But if I get busy and I only do one, the next week I am punished by the algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
I have now, like, if you don't post enough, I posted, in my opinion, a quite enjoyable assessment of my new CO Bibble action figure. And it is not getting many views because I'm being punished by the algorithm. So if you're interested in checking out TikTok, go look at my CO Bibble action figure. Anything else, you can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com. And for the thing that I'd like to highlight this week, I'm continuing to highlight the letter writing campaign Vote Forward. You write letters encouraging other people to use their power and vote. If you want more information, you can go to their website, votefwd.org.
Wonderful stuff. Go watch Joseph's TikTok. Give CO Bibble the respect he deserves, and Joseph as well. That is it for this week. So for Bryce Dallas Howard, the Howard family, and those handrails we want to see more of in Star Wars, this has been Force Center. See you next time, friends. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.